You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 24th, 2020. And this week, Microsoft says Nixer to Mixer. Facebook steps in as Fixer.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. We got a couple of news stories to talk about today. We're
saying
goodbye. We're saying goodbye to a few things.
Really. let me just turn up the graduation song in the background of this.
Oh my God! Yeah, what is that? What is that song? There's like the go-to,
vitamin,
right?
C.
Yes, vitamin C. Man, yeah. How do you stumble upon that? You know.
How do you stumble upon that as a song or like as an artist or in what?
So what do you do with yourself when you realize the song that you can, like? There's no way that she decided to make a graduation song, right?
It's, well, I mean, the song is titled Graduation, so I'm pretty sure there was some intent,
really?
There.
How many people do you think tried to shoot the moon with their own graduation song and missed?
Well, because the other one that was as popular is Time of Your Life by Green Day, and I'm pretty sure they probably did not set out to make a graduation song.
I remember. Total tangent. My mom told me she wants that song played at her funeral, and I told her no.
What?
She's not dying. I mean, not that I know of, but
right.
Know.
Well, I mean, we're all dying, but we're not dying. Imminently. Yeah.
She prepped this for me literally like 15 years ago, and I told her no then. It's still no now. She's spreading the word. All right, let's talk. Speaking of death, let's talk about Mixer.
Fuck, man, this was such a wild story. I mean. We talked about this. I feel like we just talked about the when did the whole Ninja announcement happen? Was that last year?
It feels like not very long ago.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, what, easily within that, I would say 6 months. I mean, here's the thing. Let's be honest. Time has become more. We used to say, oh, time is meaningless. It's so hard to remember. That has become especially true in the year 2020.
Yes.
The year that God abandoned. its followers.
The year that we decided we were living in the near automata world.
Yes. Mixer, Microsoft has decided, is no more. They're killing it. Folks like Shroud, who was paid, I believe it was in the upwards of, what, $20, $30 million?
Yeah, they're throwing around numbers with Shroud and Ninja in the tens of millions.
Right. And it wasn't just Shroud and Ninja. I mean, there was a handful of other creators that were paid to stream exclusively to Mixer.
Right.
And Mixer was trying to make a play, right? They were trying to say, look, we want to compete against Twitch. I expected that fight to go along at least a year, you know? Like, I am genuinely surprised, and I work within the space, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think about Mixer and Twitch and those platforms all of the time. To announce that Mixer is shutting down is already bonkers.
Yes.
To then have them announce, and we're transitioning to Facebook, equally bonkers to me.
Yeah, man. I mean, so you are more the expert in this scenario. I just don't ever hear of Facebook in the gaming space. Is it growing, or is this like square one, or like, is there a certain game, you know, is Smite really big on Facebook or something, and I just don't know it, you know?
I mean,
what is the deal here?
I think the answer is no. Look, Facebook tried to make their Facebook gaming platform a viable space for a while, right?
Yeah.
They signed some exclusivity deals with ESL, I think, in 2018. Those were a disaster because the streaming platform was garbage. I think it crashed a lot. There was difficulty getting like a low latency experience for viewers. It didn't work well across all regions. A lot of people ended up just watching video that was restreamed on Twitch or from like weird Russian servers or whatever, rather than use Facebook, right? So Facebook has been in this space for a while, but they haven't really capitalized on it.
Right.
The thing that I think is striking to me, and I think this has been true for a while, is that Facebook is sort of at odds with itself, right? Huh. There's a part of Facebook that wants to be the personalized experience that is more for families, that creates, I know this sounds ridiculous, but a greater sense of privacy right? Where you were you're defining the circles that you want to be engaged in, right?
Yeah.
There's that part of Facebook. And then there's the public part of Facebook where you really want to reach a large audience with the content that you're producing, right? Yeah. Over the past couple of years, Facebook has applied a lot of changes to the way that content is served to viewers in order to diminish the type of content that isn't from their friends and family, right? Uh-huh. So I haven't used Facebook as an actual user in a very long time. I specifically backed off of Facebook. But we remember a time period where people would join a bunch of Facebook groups and then you would see in your feed activity from that group, right?
Yes.
And some people still use it in this way. But across the board, Facebook started diminishing how often that content would show up on your feed.
Yeah.
That has greatly impacted performance across Facebook for brands as well, right? That want to get their brand content in the eyes of consumers.
Yep.
So those two things are a little bit at odds when you're also talking about a gaming platform, right? Where if you follow a bunch of streamers, you might not want to see in your feed right off the bat a live stream of, you know, so-and-so playing a game,
right?
When you really want to just check in, is my great aunt Judy still alive, you
right,
know, or how's she handling coronavirus lockdown, right? Like
right.
stuff like that. So in my mind, it doesn't really make logical sense that someone that wants to compete at the scale of Twitch would choose Facebook as their partner.
I mean, I think probably the operative word there is scale. I mean, even if, because there's two things. There's the scale of who can even do that, who has the system to support it, who has the potential network to support it, who has the engineering know-how and infrastructure, so on and so forth.
I mean, go to China, work with Weibo or something.
I mean, I'm sure they want their own, you know, proprietary version of whatever that is. But I, but then, like you pointed out, there's the algorithm, and the algorithm is what's going to make or break you, because you don't own the timeline. And so, therefore, you can't guarantee or validate who's actually going to see it, because you don't control how they're going to surface things to people.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very strange. I mean, who knows what Facebook is even doing these days? You know, other than like bringing down Western democracy. Like it's just like.
I mean, that's another wild thing too, right? Twitch this weekend. Gotten a lot of hot water for a variety of things, including a bunch of fucked up sexual harassment stuff. A lot of Twitch, some Twitch streamers were called out for really horrible behavior. And you know, I don't want to mince words, like criminal behavior, right?
Yeah.
And Twitch, I think, has not done a sufficient job really speaking out and protecting their community from some of the worst elements from within.
Yeah.
I think that's been true for a while.
Yep.
Facebook, kind of the same boat, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not really inspiring in either case, I guess.
We talked about this before we started rolling, but I completely see the logic of this from a Facebook perspective, where it's like, okay, hey, maybe this is a shot to like get the median age down, you know, and you know, appeal to the kids these days, and you know, maybe we can make a go at the video gaming side of you know, the platform. And I see the logic of why they would want to you know, go into this new market essentially for them. But from the Microsoft side, it's kind of weird. I mean, You're seeding ground in a space that's already consolidating. Twitch is there, YouTube is there.
Yep.
You know, Twitch is the clear leader, but I mean, you already have your major competitors, Google and Amazon, are already in the game, and then you're now giving away something to Facebook, which is not truly a competitor, but is at least in the same kind of tangent space as they are, and so it's just a very Mixer must have just been wildly unprofitable, and you know, who's the head of Xbox? Phil Harrison,
Phil
is that it? Phil Spencer.
Phil Spencer. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Spencer must have seen a graph one day and was like, "You spent how much on Ninja? Like, shut it down."
I mean, no doubt, right? Like, I mean, we know the public information about Shroud's performance on Mixer and performance on Mixer across the board, right? Like,
right.
It is. overwhelmingly, it is negligible for a lot of content creators. Mixer has never been a platform of huge success. Shroud was earning fractions of his viewership on Mixer.
Yeah.
And that was fine for him because he was getting paid $30 million on top of any viewership dollars he was getting on Mixer. But a lot of people on Twitch who would have otherwise been tuning in just said, well, I'll just go watch someone else on Twitch, right?
Yeah.
Rather than follow them over to Mixer. So unless there was going to be some sort of dramatic change in their model or really their ability to bring in new players, new content creators, right when like a new game is going to be hot and like that was where what you're going to associate it with, I mean it's all like a downhill race for them.
Yeah.
You know, how are they ever going to catch up to Twitch? And we're talking about not just the tools that Twitch is always developing to enhance and create engagement opportunities on that platform, but also just the support that Twitch receives for things like esports, you know,
yeah,
that draw in, you know, thousands upon thousands of concurrent viewers on regular basis, you know? Mixer just couldn't compete. So, yeah, I could totally see why they would bounce. The one thing I did note, and I don't know how big this is, but in the Polygon article I was reading, it was saying that Microsoft's Project xCloud, the streaming platform that Microsoft has, will be appearing on Facebook in the near future as part of the deal as well.
Hmm.
So maybe there's some tie-in where, you know, you are, because here's the thing, Facebook still has a really sizable audience. It's like 2 billion accounts or something like that on Facebook. So, I mean, maybe there's a tie-in there. The one big doubt for me, though, is also just what are the demographics, right? Like, my understanding is that Facebook is not widely used in the way that it was, you know, when you and I were in college.
Right.
The people that are using Facebook on the reg are not the same youthful audience that most, you know, companies, especially in the gaming space, want to capture now because they're future gaming consumers, right? They're not that 18 to 25 year old male who's spending a lot more of their time on, you know, Instagram overwhelmingly, or which I understand is a Facebook product, but still, or, you know, Snapchat.
I mean, that's why, again,
TikTok.
It makes way more sense from Facebook's perspective, because Facebook has been able to do this crazy this trick at least twice. They've done it with WhatsApp. They've done it with Instagram, and they're like, okay, well, if we can't get people back to
we'll just steal someone else's platform.
Yeah, I mean, we're just gonna acquire we're just gonna acquire the place where people are at, and then the money will all flow to the same pocket. So, like, I can see it from their perspective. It's just kind of a surprising thing from Microsoft's perspective for me. It was also fun and sad to see kind of the streamer drama fallout of this, because it just is such a harsh reminder that when you make your living this way, you are 100% beholden to the platform owners. And if they decide to make a change, you could be ruined in a day through no fault of your own,
for sure.
And I wonder if this will, inspire any of, especially the big ones, to start their own network. You know, where I'm gonna be,
Shroud.tv.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna create my own content. I'll host it on my website, or I'll host it. I'll live stream it on my site, but I won't have a formal contract with any one streaming service, so I'll put it out on everything. You know, I just wonder if this will be at all a wake-up call for people that are reminded now of how fragile the whole weird streamer influencer lifestyle is.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. The other thing is, the people that are like Shroud, right? Like the top tier Twitch creators, it is really difficult to overstate how much of the overall Twitch audience tunes into a handful of the top streamers. You know? In terms of hours watched, in terms of concurrence, like really the big heavy hitters, right? Dr. Disrespect, Shroud, a handful of others pull in the vast majority of their content, right? That's why it's big news when someone like Shroud says, hey, I'm going to move to Mixer. Because even if he's only bringing a fraction of his audience, if a percentage of that audience stops watching, that could be 15 to 20% of the entire day's Twitch viewership in one creator, right? That is impactful. But that also means that those who are at that top, they don't necessarily have to rely upon one or the other. They could forge their own route and just say, hey, I'm going to drop this content wherever I see fit, because
yeah,
I'm the one that's actually pulling in these numbers.
Yeah, it'll... I'm especially like leading up to a console launch. I mean, it's if ever there was a push to do Mixer, it should have been around a console launch. So it's just fascinating that all of this stuff goes down now.
I mean, maybe it was the name. Mixer's not exactly doesn't inspire confidence, right?
They needed to cut out a couple more of the vowels and really have it be cool. You know, it just needed to be MXR, you know?
There you go. There you go.
What else? What else is going on? Should we talk about the EA stuff?
Yes, EA has made some announcements. Not a whole lot of them.
Some.
Some announcements. Well, so, I mean, carrying in the footsteps, right, of the Sony press conference, they unveiled some games. They're making a new Skate game, which I feel like got less press than Tony Hawk 2 being remade.
Yeah. Which, I mean, they've been getting relentlessly trolled for years, people just bombing their Instagrams and everything, just asking about Skate 4, and
yep,
it's become a meme. I mean, asking for this game has become the calling GameStop and asking for Battletoads of our modern era.
So when I first started working at Ubisoft, one of the first games that I worked on the campaign for was Steep, which is a snowboarding game. Constant comments about this game not being Skate.
See?
It was all over the place. I was like, I've never played Skate, but now I want to play Skate because apparently people love it.
I mean, it was, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago when we talked about the, you know, it's not a sim, you know, it's not like a hardcore simulation game, but it is the, it's the alternative to Tony Hawk. You know, it's the more, it's the, if you approach Skate as FIFA approaches soccer, you would get Skate, you know?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
What else? Joseph
Fares. I feel like the, like, just on this point though, I did watch the announcement, and it felt like they could have done so much more around it.
Around the EA announcement or around the Skate announcement?
Both, but around the Skate announcement specifically, because this is something that had so much pent up demand, and they just kind of, I mean, they probably have barely started working on it. I get it, but it seems like they could have made a bigger splash of announcing this thing that people have been asking for years and years, you know?
Well, it's, I mean, we're all quarantining, so no one could have, you know, what they wanted to do was have someone just grind into the theater from like a mile away, you know, at like 80 miles an hour. But, you know, you get what you get. So,
yeah, it's just strange. Anyway, yeah, so that'll be fun. I've never played a Skate game, but I find it fun, but also somewhat disturbing that potentially the internet mob has brought this into existence.
Yes, yes, indeed. In other news, Joseph Fares, who made what we thought was pretty mediocre A Way Out, is making another co-op game, It Takes Two.
First off, Brothers, still one of our favorite games of that year.
Great game,
so,
great game.
And I stand by
single-player game.
Single-player game.
Yep.
A Way Out. It was a fun time, but it's just because we played together and just laughed at the game the whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
And then this game, where if you watch the trailer, he even says something like, oh, well, you know, it starts off with this girl really not wanting her parents to get a divorce. And they're, but like the background is like some weird techno music and stuff. It's just like such a crazy, who knows what this thing even is, but the way that they set this guy up, I also kind of feel a little bit bad for him.
They call him a visionary.
Exactly. They set him up in a way that is not super flattering, but it seems like it's supposed to be. And so I kind of felt for him in a weird way.
I mean, did he not watch this trailer? He's like a director. I'm sure he had like Final Cut. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
I mean,
he's looking ripped though. So,
the dude's swole. I mean,
if I look like that.
I mean, can you imagine if your like creative director was like doing push-ups instead of like helping you out on your project management or whatever? You'd be like, Joseph, can you calm down and help us meet our sprint? That'd be great.
I'm interested in it just because whatever, this guy takes big swings, but it's just such a strange way to, it seems like he's going back to the more emotional, thoughtful tone versus the weird heist thing that he had last time. But they don't position it like that whatsoever.
I mean, like, the plot is you were you're each controlling a doll that represents your divorcing parents, right? And in his own words, it'll blow your fucking mind away. Those two perspectives, a touching story of your parents divorcing, you'll blow your fucking mind out of your skull. Like, those things are not compatible. I'm just going to call it right now. I don't think this game is going to be good. You know, I think at this point they're trying to put the genie back into the bottle or something. They're trying to backwards engineer a good co-op game, because the idea is clearly one that is a niche that should be filled, right? Cooperative games are fucking awesome, and if there's any kind of asymmetry involved and some way to sort of work together, it can feel really good. It's why Brothers worked, right? That single player moment felt like a co-op moment. You felt the absence of that other person. That's what they've been chasing. They did not succeed with A Way Out. I'm not optimistic considering how they're pivoting this one. It is early, so I may eat crow.
I can't wait till the very end of It Takes Two, where you have a gun battle against each other.
Fucking blow your minds.
It's also just kind of a weird title. It's just like clearly an oldie song. I don't know. It seems like a weird on the nose.
Well, you know, the parents are divorcing. It takes two to
have
a relationship, you know. anyway. Also, do we need any more stories about that? I feel like, you know, it's not 1990. The 50s era is done. Like, most of us have divorced parents, right? Like, it just feels old.
A gripping tale of two parents that stay together.
Yeah, like, okay, clearly that's not going to happen, you know? I don't know. I just feel like it feels like it's trite. Star Wars Squadrons.
Yeah.
That looks dope.
This one looked pretty cool. I mean, it seemed gameplay-ish.
Yep.
I wonder how this is. I mean, it seemed like they were speaking a lot about the heritage of X-Wing and TIE Fighter. And there was a lot of cockpit footage in that trailer, so it seemed interesting to me.
I mean, I love the old, you know, sort of Battlefield 1942, 1943 cockpit style dogfighting shooters. That's always been something that I've really enjoyed playing. Having that be in the Star Wars universe, if it works, sounds amazing. And I know we joke a lot about, is this the year where we get VR? But if I'm going to enjoy a VR game, this is probably about as close to the perfect VR game I would want.
Yeah.
And I know from experience that playing VR in a cockpit is much friendlier to the stomach and the nausea than it is trying to move around, because that's sort of natural experience you have already.
Yeah.
So I could be a little bit optimistic. I'm a little bit bummed out that the game is smaller scale than I would like. I think it's 5v5 right now, maybe even 4v4. I want a very large scale battle, right? The dream would be something like Battlefield, which I guess we kind of have, right? We have Star Wars Battlefield, but it doesn't have that same sort of rich...
It's not as much of a simulation, you know?
Yeah,
it's more of a shooter straight up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you literally have Jedi sort of lightsabering around the battlefield, and it's more like a Disneyland version, right? As opposed to the more sort of try-hardy post-scriptum version of Star Wars.
Let's see, is there any other EA stuff? Because I remembered another story, not an EA story, that we should talk about, because it's highly dramatic.
I think that's basically it. I mean, besides some Madden, FIFA, and Apex stuff, that's EA, so not a whole lot.
Keeping up with Apex, or like, how was your... Yeah, no. I haven't been keeping up with it at all either.
Yeah, not even a little bit.
It seems like that, but... Respawn. It seems like Respawn has a lot of kind of irons in the fire around Apex, and they're obviously going to do another Star Wars game, and... They're doing some sort of Medal of Honor for like a VR thing. It just seems like it's been cool to see that company like basically rise from the ashes of being kicked out of, you know, and of drummed out of Activision, and now is like one of these premier shooter companies. It's crazy. It's a wild trajectory for those guys.
And it feels like they have earned so much trust now in being able to handle licensed products.
Right.
I feel like if you want to make a AAA licensed game, how are they not in your top five list?
Yeah.
You know, F studios that you would want to approach for the design of something like that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let me jump a surprise one on you. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
You remember our good friend Billy Mitchell?
Unfortunately, I do. Yeah, what is this?
Well, guess what? His scores have been reinstated in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, hold on a second. Didn't they kick him out because he, like, doctored his shit?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Well, and hold on a second. We did a podcast about this, right? And it was fucking obvious he's full of shit. Like, yeah. He was so full of shit. Like, the evidence was so obvious. No one was there. It was, like, totally fucking doctored. This guy is a total scumbag. Like, you cannot watch Billy Mitchell in anything and not be like, this guy is probably a total douche.
Well,
this guy's hair. Oh, my God.
Well, guess what? He's back in the Guinness Book of World Records after new evidence brought by himself, also within a lawsuit against the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, he sued Guinness World Records.
Yes, as well as Twin Galaxies. And that's where things get spicy, my friend. Because Twin Galaxies has not yet reinstated the scores.
God, fucking, you know what? If anyone is going to go down and just, you know, go down in a ball of flames but retain their honor, I hope it's Twin Galaxies.
Someone in this crazy world.
And they have all that beer money, too. You think they would be so much better off.
I remember thinking to my... It was one of those big things where... I don't know why, but as a kid, I just gave so much respect to the Guinness Book of World Records. And so did then
I wanted to be in one so bad. I went so far as to plan what I was going to do and how.
What were you going to do?
I was going to have the biggest popcorn, like amount of popcorn in one place.
You don't have to eat it. It just has to be there.
I mean, I assume I would eat it after the Guinness folk did their measurements, but yeah, it just needs to be there.
So you got to find what, like an abandoned swimming pool? Well, just so start,
that's,
like,
no,
dumping?
So that's the crazy. I grew up in a vineyard. There were just massive vats that wouldn't be used at certain times of the year. Fill that motherfucker with popcorn, you know, slow and steady. And do that all before my dad finds out, you know, that's the real challenge.
That's the bonus of Guinness.
I call but bullshit.
It's such a... It's. I mean, yes. And there's also, just reading into it a little bit more, there are things where it's like, we've confirmed that it is impossible to fake this. And then there's a bunch of people that are kind of in the scene where it's like, this is complete and total bullshit. You can completely fake this in a regular machine. Like, it's fine, you know? And so it's just... It's such a wild roller coaster of a story. I mean, in a world where there is drama for life and death reasons, I take solace in the fact that someone is spending an inordinate amount of time and money arguing about something incredibly stupid that nobody cares about.
Oh, man, this just bums me out. And I think here's the thing, too, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that Guinness is like a Ponzi scheme anyway, because in order to like attempt, you have to submit like a large fee anyway.
Oh yeah, so totally, like, yeah, it's definitely a pay to play type of thing.
Yeah, fuck them and fuck Billy Mitchell. Those are my thoughts.
I mean, that's why it was so disappointing to grow up and kind of learn a little bit more about Guinness, and it's like, oh man, these guys are just, they're making a buck off of people. Like, it's just,
and that's why you always saw like bogus ones, right, where it's like, oh, like John's longest toenail, and you're like, that's gross, why does anybody care about that? Although I guess because, longest toenail is kind of fascinating.
It's because the longest toenail guy sent Guinness $1,000 and they're like, yeah, sure, we'll put you in the book.
Damn, that toenail sure looks long. Go for it.
Publish it, Fred. This makes me, this also reminds me that it's time for me to rewatch King of Kong, which I haven't watched in many years.
Yeah, I just don't want to think about Billy Mitchell ever again. That would be great.
Where's Steve Wiebe? That's what we need. That's who we need.
One last story before we wrap up. Just pouring out a Guinness, a cold Guinness, to our good friend Aaron Weber, who is now stepping down as the real voice of Sonic the Hedgehog, the manager of Sega's Twitter account.
Take that, Ben Schwartz.
It is wild to me how this story is just crazy. Like, honestly, I would watch a documentary about this.
Yeah.
Above King of Kong again. because Aaron Weber did whatever the fuck he wanted with the Sega account, and it worked. And genuinely, we have gotten so many bad memes from companies as a result.
Yes.
You know?
That's
he
true,
did
actually.
It right, and everyone tried to like hop on the Sonic meme train, and not very many people are that skilled at it, you know?
It is really, I mean, it's just so impressive how on point this Twitter feed is.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain acknowledgement of what Sonic is in the popular consciousness, right?
Yeah.
Like, Sonic, I mean, not to sound trite, but, like, Sonic shouldn't play by the rules of right. social media, you know what I mean? Like, he's a bad boy, all right? You know what I mean? He got to go fast. So, like, it fits with that brand, right? It doesn't fit, like, L'Oreal, you know?
Yeah,
or, like,
exactly.
KFC, yeah. You know what I mean? That kind of shit, like... Get your corporate meme speak off of my yeah. timeline because you're right. pathetic.
Right.
But it is hard not to recognize this one individual in sort of revolutionizing the position Sonic has had in the gaming
yes.
space on social media in particular, but really just in the English speaking world. It's phenomenal.
Do you think how much influence did this Twitter account have in getting the Sonic the Hedgehog movie created?
Man, I genuinely wonder. I yeah. honestly, probably a lot. Because you have to figure when the producers are trying to pitch their money, right? They're trying to see, well, what is the conversation? How many people are talking about Sonic? Is he a recognizable character, right? How do you show that, right? You show that via conversation. You show
exactly.
that via, like, high-impact
performing posts, right?
This guy's 5.8
million followers. Like, of course
Sonic,
we should make a movie.
Yeah, like, Sonic got yeah. 30 million views on a shit post. So imagine
yeah.
if you put in money, you know? Like, I do genuinely think that that played a role in it, you know? And I don't know how much Aaron Weber was getting paid, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say not enough.
Yes.
Because I genuinely think that this one individual and you know what, maybe it's not him, maybe anybody could have done this had they had
right.
the bravado that Aaron had at that time and place, sure
right.
but I really do think that when we look back at the history of video games, this particular era of Sonic, fascinating. Like, it is
yeah.
just such this interesting iconic moment. And I know he's stepping down and someone else is taking a spot, and at this point, like, you know, Sonic kind of writes himself.
Yeah, there's a tone voice. There's a company tone for this now that they could continue
yes.
on, most likely.
And they've done such a good job of creating that tone, right? Like,
yeah.
it is, I think, in a lot of people's, you know, the people in the field of, like, social media, this is a case study. In,
yeah, right?
In
this
how
is,
to,
this is one for the books.
It is one for, like, I mean, legitimately, I'm sure that there are young marketing students in college writing papers about Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account because... it was impactful. It rebranded that character in a lot of people's minds. It played a pivotal role of making him interesting again. I still haven't played a good Sonic game in years, but you know what? The Twitter account, hats off to you.
This motherfucker is following 69 people. Like, what a fucking genius. Like,
and 5.8 million people are following him.
But I mean, to even go, like... It's crazy that the corporate overlords don't see that following number and is like, you can't have that number, you know, like,
can you imagine if I tried to pull that shit off? No way.
Right.
Oh my
right.
God. Yeah. That's so funny. And I even love the idea that they allowed him to break the fourth wall and post this sort of
yes.
heartfelt, like, tweet longer on their
right.
account being like,
right.
hey, peace, you know?
Right. It's also cool to me. It just makes me interested into what he's going to do next. Cause he says, oh, I'm taking another role within Sega. And so it's like, now is he looked at as like, oh, this guy knows the dankest memes. He knows what the teens are about. We need to get him into every team here.
That's a very good point.
We're going to revitalize Phantasy Star Online.
I actually hope that he is just now inside the Sonic costume at all events. And then he just says, like, really inappropriate things, you know? So
once we kick this COVID thing, we're going to send him on a world tour.
Yeah, who knows, dude? I don't know. Maybe he's prepping.
Oh,
I'm glad that he
man.
Didn't come out as, like, a secret bigot yet. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's
I mean,
2020.
It's,
like,
yeah.
Maybe they're laying him off before it's revealed.
Oh, man. That would be so heartbreaking. It'd be like if you realized, like, Tom Hanks is a secret racist or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
We can't live in that timeline.
No, yeah, it's already bad enough. 2020.
Yeah.
Aaron
Sonic,
Weber,
you're too good for this world.
Yes, you're a golden blue child.
Nice to have a little uplifting, feel good thing. It's bittersweet, but I'm happy for him.
Absolutely, man.
All right, we will leave it there for this week. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. Come on down, bring your friends, share the podcast, do all those things.
All right. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye. Every time.